did his work with some pride and watched drips of paint slide down the pristine white of the building. Pleased, he used more of the orchid to scrawl, "Faggot," across the main door before heaving more paint on the window, dumping the rest on the porch. Too drunk and stupid to think of fingerprints, DNA, or basic common sense, he left the empty cans on the porch before unzipping and releasing his bladder on the doorstep. Besides, he considered good old Stu an ironclad alibi. He got back in the truck, smearing paint from his hands onto the steering wheel. He swerved and weaved his way out of town, navigated the road up to Darby's house. Bitch stuck her nose in his personal business? Bitch had to pay. He considered burning the place down, but he hadn't thought to get a can of gas. Next time, he vowed, and settled for defacing the house with a rainbow of cerulean blue, daffodil yellow, mountain mist, slopping ugly words over the wood. Cunt, whore, lesbo, bitch. He attempted to depict a gang rape with stick figures, and to his bleary eyes considered it fine art. Using his art as a visual aid, he masturbated, howling with satisfaction as he spattered cum over her welcome mat. Far from finished, he stumbled back to the truck. Now came the big guns. Literally. Hunched over the wheel, he drove toward Zane's and was far too drunk, much too focused on getting where he needed to go to notice the headlights keeping a steady quarter mile back in his rearview mirror. Even shit-faced, he remembered Zane's security. Everybody knew about it, especially since Bigelow got his ass kicked by that lesbo bitch. Which proved, in Clint's reasoning, Bigelow was a pussy, and too much of a pussy to have knocked his wife and kids around back in the day. Bunch of bullshit. One thing Clint Draper wasn't, for fuck's sake, was some pussy. He caught the headlights as he drove up the steep lane, pulled up a little better than halfway. Security my ass, he thought. He'd slip right through it, do what he came to do, and slip right out again. He got his rifle off the bench seat beside him. Paint time was over, and hiked into the woods. He had a nice, bright moon to guide him. If Clint knew one thing and knew it well, it was how to hunt and shoot and make the ammo count. He thrashed his way through underbrush, not worried about scaring off game, as what he wanted slept all nice and tidy inside the big house. He didn't figure on killing them, yet, but he'd sure as shit scare the piss right out of them.
Time to wake up, fuckers. You'll be eating floorboards and shitting your pants.
And maybe, just maybe, one of them would peek out a door, a window. If that happened, he'd put a bullet in them. Didn't matter a good goddamn which one.
Think you can take my wife from me? Turn that stupid bitch against me? I'm gonna fuck you up. Fuck you up real good.
He stumbled a time or two, scratched the hell out of his arms on brambles, and left plenty of fibers and bits of skin behind. He wished to Christ he'd thought to grab a beer from Stu's stash so he could slake his thirst. The warm, close night and all the work he'd done had him soaked in sweat. Even drunk, he could smell his own stink. No worries. He'd clean up at Stu's, grab that beer, maybe pop one of the old lady's Ambien. Sleep like a baby after he finished his good night's work. The moon cut through the trees, flooded over the house. Clint thought he couldn't ask for better. He saw himself slipping in and out of the shadows, silent as a ghost, even as he stumbled, thrashed, cracked twigs under his boots. But the shadow behind him moved quiet and bided its time. Clint took a stand, such as it was, at the edge of the trees, keeping back as he studied the house. Word was they had a big, fancy bedroom in the front with the big glass doors so that pussy Walker could stand out there on the deck lording it over the town. He shouldered the rifle, brought the doors into the crosshairs of his scope. He thought he might even get lucky, at least wing one of them. Either way, he thought, Either way, they wouldn't sleep easy after tonight. He fired twice, hit the glass, watched it shatter, then added a spray that flashed through the opening, hit the jams, the house. Grinning, heart thumping, he kept his aim, picturing the shot if that fucking walker had the balls to come to the doors. The shadow moved in behind him. Clint knew an instant of shocking pain when the rock smashed his skull. His rifle hit the ground seconds before he did. Now the shadow smiled and thought, interesting. When an opportunity fell into your lap, only a fool ignored it. Cool-headed, he took the rifle, hauled Clint up and over his shoulder. He'd just take his opportunity off to a more private location. The shots ripped Zane out of sleep. Instinctively, he rolled over Darby, wrapped around her, kept rolling until they hit the floor. "Stay down," he snapped as the dog sent up a howl. "What? Stay down. Somebody's shooting at the house."
"No, maybe more fireworks."
"Fireworks didn't do that." He gestured at the broken glass, lifted his voice over the alarm as it began to shrill. Zod nuzzled in, lapped his tongue over faces, shoulders, hands, while Zane slithered over her, pawed his hand onto the nightstand for his phone, already signaling.
"Yeah, I've got a problem. Somebody's outside shooting at my house. Call the damn cops, now. Stay down," he ordered Darby again. "I want you to stay low and get into one of the spare rooms and hide. If you hear him break in, get out a window and keep going."
She lay on the floor, clutching the dog, every muscle trembling.
"Is that what you're going to do?"
"Just do it."
He stayed low, worked his way to the closet and inside. He came out with the Louisville Slugger Emily had given him for his 12th birthday, and saw that rather than getting to a hiding place, Darby had unplugged a bedside lamp, now held it much as he did the bat.
"Two weapons are better than one," she began.
"Quiet,"
he shoved out a hand.
"That's an engine starting up."
Moving fast, he darted to the broken doors before she could object and caught just the quick flash of taillights.
"Son of a bitch, I'm going after him."
"He has a gun, do you?"
Ignoring her, he grabbed pants, swore as he cut his foot on broken glass.
"Stay here."
She only had a second to think. Like hell. When he ran from the room, she was right behind him.
"Wait, think. I know you're mad. Me too, but there could be more than one of them with guns, for God's sake, Zane. They could be trying to lure you out just like this."
Though it galled her, she pulled out another weapon, the only one she believed would work on a furious male.
"Please don't leave me here alone."
That stopped him.
"Damn it, Darby, he can't outrun the Porsche. Hide in the pantry until the cops come."
It galled more than a little. But deciding her pride wasn't worth his life, she wrapped around him, clung.
"Don't leave me alone."
"All right. Okay."
So he stood with her in the upstairs hall, holding her.
"It's all right, darling. I'm right here. It's okay."
As relief spilled through her, she tightened her grip.
"It had to be Clint Draper. Had to be. He won't get away, Zane."
"No, he won't. Look, I'm not going anywhere. I want you to take the dog into the spare room there. Stay away from the windows. I'm just going down to wait for Lee."
"We'll all go down. Jesus, you're bleeding."
"Just stepped on some glass."
"Bathroom," she ordered. "We'll clean it up, then Lee or Silas or somebody will be here."
It gave her direction, something to focus on, so her hands stayed steady as she examined and cleaned the wound. Nastier than she liked. Not as bad as she'd feared.
"He didn't try to break in."
"He'd know about the security system. Everybody does. Probably too stupid to realize shooting the glass would spring the alarm."
Seconds before Zane heard the sirens, Zod began to howl again.
"Here they come. Darling, you're naked."
"Right. I'll take care of that and be right down."
He stood, favoring his injured foot.
"You weren't afraid of being alone?"
"I was afraid,"
she said simply, and went to put some clothes on. The dog raced downstairs, barking ferociously, and Zane followed. Still naked, Darby sat on the side of the bed, let the trembling come again. The broken glass, the bloody footprints, the tangle of sheets. And, she saw now, the holes bullets had torn into the wall just a few feet from where they'd slept. What if he'd waited? Waited until morning, until Zane stepped outside as he did every day. Until they'd sat together on the back patio over cereal and coffee. They'd have been defenseless. Or if he'd come sooner, using the booming fireworks as cover, shot while there were children running around the lawn, while everyone looked up at the sky. She wrapped her arms around her belly, rocked. Pull it together, she told herself. Just pull yourself together. Ifs don't matter, it didn't happen. And they'll find him. They'll find him. She walked back to the bathroom, splashed cold water on her face, and waited for the sudden wave of nausea to pass. By the time she'd pulled on clothes, Zane had started back up the steps.
Wanted to see if you were dressed. Lee needs to come up.
Sure. He walked to her, laid a hand on her cheek.
You're really pale.
I'll be better after coffee. I'll go make some. She looked down to the base of the steps where Lee waited. It's really good to see you, Chief. She continued down. I didn't even hear the shots. The glass breaking? I woke up when Zane rolled me off the bed and we hit the floor.
Don't you worry now, honey. We're going to take care of this. That I can promise.
She nodded, walked to the kitchen to make coffee. She continued to sit, sipping slowly, when Lee and Zane came back down. Darby considered herself pretty adept at reading a room, and this one struck her as even more grim than it had been. Oh God, he didn't shoot someone, did he? With a shake of his head, Lee sat beside her.
Silas called in. Zane's office was vandalized again. Obscenities painted all over the front of the building. Paint's still wet. I've got a couple of officers going up to your place to check it out.
Okay. It might have been Draper who broke in before. Before Micah added security?
Could be. We're going to wait until daybreak to check and see if we can find where he was when he shot the doors. And we'll be checking on his place and his family before that.
All right. Lee patted her hand.
You're a steady one, Darby.
Not altogether, but I believe in the system. It stood up for me when I needed it. I know you'll find him. Where's he going to go? And you'll put him away. Except.
Except?
Her gaze flicked to Zane. It'd be a wild coincidence if it wasn't Clint Draper with the timing. But Zane, you were a prosecutor. It's not impossible somebody you put away is out and wants some payback. And I can see by your face you've considered that.
Have to,
he agreed.
But it's Draper. Hitting my office? That's bullshit stuff. It fits him like a glove. And I'm betting anybody I prosecuted who had the brains to track me here probably knows how to spell motherfucker.
Lee rose to answer his phone, wandered off, wandered back when the call was complete.
Your place too, I'm sorry to say, Darby. Paint, crude words, and he left some DNA. We'll send that off. We've got Clint's on file already. Still, it takes time. Not as much for Prince, and we're going to find them, too.
I should go see.
No, you're not going to go see,
Lee said before Zane could.
It's a crime scene now, and you're going to steer clear of it. You need anything from there, we'll get it for you.
She looked Lee dead in the eyes. What kind of DNA?
You leave that to us.
He patted her hand.
I'd appreciate it if you'd both stay here for now. We're going to go have a conversation with the Drapers and leave the bedroom as is. One of my men will be around to take pictures.
He bent down, brushed his lips over Darby's hair.
Nobody does this to my family. You can take that to the bank. I'll walk you out.
Darby stayed where she was, waited until Zane came back. What kind of DNA? He told you just now. I have a right to know.
My office? He pissed on the porch. Your place? He jacked off on your doormat.
She blew out a breath. Well, glad I didn't pay much for it.
I'd beat him bloody for that alone, and I say that as somebody who'd rather use words than fists. But for that, I'd beat him bloody. Darby,
Her shoulders went iron hard. Don't you dare say you're sorry. I picked her up on the side of the road. I brought her to you for help. We're in this together. Though her eyes stung with tears, her voice came fierce. Don't you dare say you're sorry to me for any part of this. She swiped the heels of her hands over the tears that escaped. Zod needs to go out. Since the dog all but danced at the door, Zane had to agree.
I'll take him. On a leash. Any possibility you could try to scramble up some eggs?
I can do that, but I can't guarantee how they'll turn out.
Can't be worse than mine.
He got the leash, clipped it on the delighted dog.
If you'd been alone at your place.
I just went through a bunch of ifs upstairs before I reminded myself ifs don't matter. You'd better work up a serious appetite if you're going to swallow down my eggs. In the wash of his security lights, Zane walked the dog and used the task as an excuse to aim toward where he figured the shooter had stood. He'd examined plenty of crime scenes in his past life, pored over countless police reports. And since he had, he kept Zod on a short leash. Wisely, he decided, when the dog sniffed the air and strained against it to move ahead.
Easy. We mess anything up, Lee won't have to kick my ass, I'll kick my own.
Moving carefully, he didn't have to follow Zod's nose for long. He could follow his own. Only more cautious now, he picked the dog up, tolerated the wiggles, the lapping tongue as he studied ground already disturbed. And the blood, still fresh.
Now, what do you make of that?
He mumbled.
You just hold on.
Crouching, he got a firm grip on Zod's collar, dug his phone out of his pocket. He took a couple of shots, then frog-walked back until he had enough distance to trust the leash again. He had to tug the dog away, then lead him off to where Zod could do what he had to do without compromising the scene. While the dog busied himself, Zane called Lee.
I found something, and before you jump, I didn't compromise the scene. I'm going to send you a couple pictures. You're going to want to get somebody over here. There had to be two of them, Lee, and one of them's bleeding.
He sent the pictures, thought it through while he walked Zod back for a very early breakfast. Darby stood by the stove, scowling at the skillet. First they were runny, and then in like seconds they're overdone. But I didn't burn them, so that's... She turned as she spoke, saw his face. What? What happened?
They're gone. Don't worry.
They? He nodded, bent to unclip the leash.
Zod sniffed out where they'd been. That's a good dog.
He gave the dog a rub, then poured his food in his bowl. Zod pounced on it like a lion pounces on a gazelle.
There's blood.
Blood? But...
I'm not an investigator, but I've worked with them. Simplest to my eye, two of them, and one bashed the other with a rock. You've got a bloody rock,
he continued as he got out plates.
You've got blood on the ground, crushed brush, short drag marks.
He shrugged.
They'll find more once the sun's up, but simplest is two, and one hauled the other out after he coshed him with a rock.
She stood watching him while he got out forks. You're pretty damn cool about it.
Well, now it's a mystery, so that's interesting. And we're about to have eggs and coffee.
He gave her arms a quick rub, much as he had the dog, with easy affection.
I'm still pissed, but now we've got something to figure out on top of it. Clint Draper's easy, almost certain to be him, and we'd know why. But darling, why did Clint hit somebody with a rock when he had a rifle? Or why did somebody hit him with one?
To protect us? And that doesn't make any sense, she admitted, as she scooped clumps of overdone eggs onto the plates. Why would they be in the woods in the middle of the night? Why would they haul the other away and not say anything?
See?
He shot a finger at her, sat to eat.
Got you thinking. Could be one of his pals, whoever he's using to hide out. They had a disagreement out there, one smacks the other.
She sampled eggs. Maybe more salt. Then it's, oh shit, we better get out of here, but that's just stupid. He tried more pepper.
We're talking, most likely,
Clint Draper, darling. They don't come much more stupid.
Most likely, she echoed. It is most likely, but you'll still check on people you helped put away that might want to hurt you.
I've got files. I'll be looking, but odds are better Lee rounds Clint up pretty quick, and that DNA, the prints, slam that shut.
Because they weren't any worse than what he'd have scrambled up, he ate more eggs.
He's pissed, Lee.
I could see that for myself.
He'd do the job regardless, but being pissed, he'll round Clint Draper up pretty quick. Even so, what I'm going to tell you is...
There are other Drapers, she finished. And how's this for talking Southern? They won't take kindly to having their kin locked up.
Not bad for a Yankee, and no, they won't take kindly to it. So you're going to be careful. We're going to be careful,
he corrected before she could.
Plus, we've got ourselves this fierce guard dog.
Darby glanced over at Zod. He'd finished his breakfast and now lay on his back, stubby legs in the air, wide tongue lolling out of the side of his mouth. Smiling, she lifted the charm she wore around her neck. That makes two of us.
And we'll look out for each other.
He closed his hand over hers.
All three of us.
As if jabbed with a needle, Zod leaped up and, barking madly, raced toward the front of the house.
Cops coming back,
Zane said.
One thing's for certain, nobody's going to be able to sneak in here with the general on duty.
He rose, took his plate and hers to the sink.
I'll get the dishes, he told her. You call off our little and fierce.
She got up, breathed out. I love you, Walker. When he turned, smiled, she lifted her shoulders. It seemed like one of those just right times to say so.
Anytime's the right time. I love you right back.
Knowing it for pure truth, she went to call off the wildly barking dog and let in the police. Chapter 25. It took her back, having cops everywhere, the way they moved, the way they spoke. It pulled Darby back to the Bigelow attack, but oddly that violent encounter blurred in her mind. Everything about it so fast, so hard. But the cops speak, the routine of the work, yanked her back to the morning she'd lost her mother. And with crystal clarity, the impossible shock and disbelief when the police came to the door with grim faces, terrible words rolled over and through her. Now, just like then, she'd had nothing to do, no action to take. Just waiting, waiting, waiting. She'd already given her statement, had nothing to add. For now, at least, Lee remained firm. She needed to stay put. She'd watched and read enough police procedurals to have a layman's idea of what was going on around her. They'd take official photos of the place Zane found at the edge of the woods, take samples of the blood, take the rock. Others would take photos of the bedroom, dig bullets out of the wall. Bullets, she thought again, as she wandered from kitchen to great room. Waiting, waiting, waiting. It all seemed unreal. She felt a twinge of embarrassment, ridiculous, when Emily came in. Then Emily walked straight to her, wrapped around her, and just held her. That twinge turned into a flood of relief. They don't want me to go outside, she began. The dog can't, so I'm supposed to stay in with him. Zane's out there, but it's his house, so... That's not altogether why. With a final squeeze, Emily stepped back. He was a prosecutor. He knows these ropes. Come on, sweetie. I'll fix you some tea. Now she sighed. Enough with the self-pity because wallowing in it was worse than doing nothing. A Coke'll do it. Do you want anything? Not right now, thanks. I want to go to my place, see the damage. You will, Emily assured her, and when Lee clears it, we'll help you put it all to rights. Are you sure you couldn't get a little more sleep? The sun's barely up. I'm totally awake. I had to call Roy, tell him what happened, because I'm not going to be able to work this morning. He'll get everything going. Working for you steadied that boy. What are y'all working on now? You're trying to distract me. If you see it that easy, it's not working. Darby walked to the kitchen doors, closed tight. Looked out at the grounds she'd designed, the waterfall she'd built. I love it here. This house, what I see when I look outside. I love Zane, even though that part still gives me some nerves. And now twice in this house you've had to deal with violence. Yeah. Do you think some people are just fated? I know it sounds stupid. But are some just fated to have violence in their lives? Again and again. I don't believe that for a single New York minute. I don't want to believe it, but I've been pacing around here waiting, and I started thinking how my life did a 180 when I met my ex. Up until then, even considering my father took off, I had a good, solid childhood, a calm sort of life. My mother and I, school, the neighborhood, friends, the work, boys, pretty much smooth. On a long, expelled breath, she sat. Then Trent. I married him too young, too fast, but screw it, Emily, others do. It either works or it doesn't. But it not only didn't work, it put me in the hospital. Emily caught Darby's face in her hands, tipped it side to side. He put you there. It didn't. He'd have put me in again if he could have managed it. I'd never had anyone want to hurt me before that. Not that way. Then my mom, losing her the way I did. Coming here, fresh start, right? Then Bigelow, then finding Tracy, now this, it just keeps rolling. As if sensing the need, Zod laid his head in Darby's lap, looked at her with adoring eyes. And Emily sat beside them. You're a smart, sensible woman, Darby. And most times you've got a positive way about you. I can't blame you for having a hard time finding that positive this morning. But all that you're saying is just foolishness. I don't know Trent, Emily continued, but I know who he is because I dealt with Graham and my sister for years. They're mean, violent, ugly people who wear a mask so well, so easily. I grew up with Eliza. I interacted with Graham all that time, but I didn't see through the masks, not all the way. That wasn't fate. It was their horrible skill. It is, isn't it? Darby agreed. It is a horrible skill. What happened to your mother happened because someone was selfish, careless, callous. And I hope to Christ they suffer terrible guilt every day for the rest of their life. She put an arm around Darby's shoulders, tucked her close. In a terrible way, you were able to fight off Graham because of what happened with Trent. I find that so admirable, which is why I'm going to nag you at another time about giving that self-defense course. As for Tracy, it's your compassion and caring that helped save her, so you don't think otherwise, not for a second. And this? She sighed. This morning is a stupid, violent, ugly man's attempt to show he has big balls, when in fact he's a small, dickless asshole. My Lee will see he's behind bars before sundown. You can count on it. Thanks. I mean it. I needed that. I think what you need is to get out of here and go to work. To take this sweet dog and go do something productive. So, I'm going to go talk to Lee about letting you go on and do that. Where would you be working today? I had a little something to finish on High Point Road. That's how I came across Tracy. But I'll do that later. I sent the crew to the marsh place by the lake. All right, then. She gave Darby's knee a pat, then rose. But before Emily could head outside, they heard feet running down the front steps, and the sound of the door slamming shut. That's just it. Darby jumped up, got the leash. I'm not going to sit here another minute. With the dog thrilled with new activity, and Emily beside her, Darby marched outside in time to see two of the police cars speed off. They must have found him. Darby aimed toward Zane as he strode toward them. Or he's done something else, but... Did they find him? She called out. Zane kept coming.
Yeah, they found him. Clint Draper.
Something's wrong, Darby thought, and by the way Emily took her hand, she knew Emily saw it too. What is it? What happened?
They found him, floating in the lake. He's dead. Christ.
He scrubbed his hands over his face.
Gabe called it in.
Gabe? Oh my God, I need to-
No,
Zane shifted to stop Emily's forward leap.
You need to stay right here. Lee's got this. He's already talked to Gabe. They were working. Your crew, Darby. And from what I got, Hallie spotted the body. Roy jumped in to try to help. Too late for that, and he shouted out for somebody to call 911. Gabe called his dad.
He took Zod's leash.
Let's go sit down. We need to keep Zod clear of the crime scene. They're finished, or were, but we should keep him clear for now.
I need to talk to my boy, Emily insisted.
You go on and call him. Darby, how about if we put our heads together and make some sweet tea?
I'll do it. Emily waved them back. I'll get it started. Call Gabe. I need to call Brody, too, make sure he stays away from that part of the lake for now.
With a nod, Zane nudged Darby to a chair on the patio, put the loop of the leash around his wrist when Zod plopped under the table to snooze.
Someone killed him, Darby began.
Or he fell in, or he committed suicide. That's for the cops and the ME to determine.
The blood over there, the rock, the drag marks. You put it all together, Zane, and somebody killed him and dumped him in the lake. The questions are who and why.
They'll be talking to one of his friends. They found a truck shortly before Gabe called. It's got spilled paint, more cans of it, and blood. What it looks like is Stu Hubble came along with Clint on his spree. Then they got into something. Stu smacked him with a rock. Probably didn't mean to kill him, but did. Panicked. Dumped him. But things aren't always what they look like, and that doesn't explain why Stu would leave his truck sitting on the side of the lake road. We wait for the facts.
I need to talk to my crew.
I know.
He put a hand over hers.
Soon.
The shadow had become a man, and the man stood outside with an excellent view of the activity on the lake. He'd watched the Yahoo jump in, swim to the floater. It had given him a chuckle along with his morning coffee. He'd stood right there when the bumfuck cops had come across the truck he'd left where a blind moron could find it. He suspected one Stuart Hubble, according to the registration, was in for a bad day. But the floater, the too-late lifeguard, the whole scene of chaos really topped it off. Then the cops came screaming up. Man, what a show! This was the most fun he'd had in weeks. At least since he'd beaten that two-bit whore he'd picked up somewhere in Dickwad, Virginia. Best thing he'd done, he thought as he watched the show, had been following his gut. And following the asshole with the paint cans. Like fucking divine intervention, that's what it had been. He hoped killing this stupid bastard brought some trouble down on Walker. Maybe it would. Just maybe. Asshole vandalizes the shithead's office, then vandalized the whore bitchy's fucking. He had to stop there. Take a breath there. Unclench his fists. Then what does he do but sneak his drunk way right up to Walker's place. Pop a bunch of bullets through the glass. Dead idiot could think of it this way. If he hadn't done him the favor of bashing his brains in, he'd be spending a nice stretch in prison. Better off dead.
You're welcome.
Snickering, he slipped back inside for another coffee, a croissant, some local jelly. He brought it out on the porch, sat in the nice sturdy chair, and enjoyed his continental breakfast and show. When Emily brought out the tea, she rubbed Zane's shoulders. I'm going to make a big pasta salad, get it chilling. You don't have to do that, Darby began. Lee's letting the crew go, and every one of them wants to come here, see the both of you. So I'm going to put together some food from what I can find in your poorly stocked pantry. I'll be raiding your kitchen garden while I'm at it. Zane reached back to squeeze her hand.
Best pasta salad going. Is Gabe okay?
He seems to be.
I want to see him for myself. I'm having Ralph go by and pick Brody up. I want both my boys where I can see them.
Then you'll have the lot of them to help you take down the rest of these canopies and haul in the rest of the extra tables and chairs. She looked around. Hard to believe it was just yesterday all of us were out here celebrating. She lowered her head to kiss the top of Zane's. Lee'll be a while yet. He's got a lot to deal with.
Zane.
Darby reached for him when Emily went back inside.
Somebody has to tell Tracy.
I want to do that, and in person, and as soon as I can,
he added.
Will you be okay if I go into Asheville?
Of course I will. Do you want me to go with you?
You stay here, help settle your crew. I'm going to check with Lee, get his go-ahead. He has the tougher one. He'll have to notify the rest of the Drapers.
Which he would, but Stu Hubble had to come first. Lee found him snoring on the couch in his hovel, surrounded by empty beer bottles, a scatter of pills not yet consumed, ashtrays full of butts, tobacco and weed, and what looked like the remains of a meat lover's pizza along with a couple empty bags of Doritos. The good hard shove Lee gave him loosened an enormous fart, followed by a belch that smelled nearly as foul.
Fuck off,
Stu muttered, and attempted to roll over. This time, Lee used his foot and helped Stu land on the floor.
Some bitch, what the—
He broke off when his bloodshot eyes focused on Lee.
Who the hell let you in? This here's my place. You got no right. This here's your grandmother's place. Get your sorry stinking ass up, you're under arrest. Am not. Didn't do nothing.
Considering, Lee narrowed his eyes.
Where's Clint Draper? How the hell am I?
Stu blinked, got slowly to his feet. He was a big guy with a big gut of hard fat. He had little eyes and bad teeth.
Around? Maybe in the can? We've been hanging out. Was gonna go camping, but it got too hot, so we come back yesterday hung out. Ain't illegal. Defacing property is. And you were stupid enough to use your truck when you painted obscenities on Zane Walker's office, on Darby McCray's house. Did no such thing. Been right here, you ask my grandma. Paint still in your truck, smeared all over the steering wheel.
But none, Lee noticed, on Stu, who obviously hadn't changed or showered in several days.
Your paintbrushes, Stu. Your paint cans. Your truck. Nuh-uh. Lesson somebody must have stole it. You ask Grandma. You ask Clint. I asked your grandmother, who's deaf as a post and hasn't been down those steps for 6 months or more. I can't ask Clint Draper.
Why the hell not?
Because we fished him out of the lake this morning, not a quarter mile from where we found your truck. He's dead.
Is not.
Stu pushed around to see if any of the empty bottles had anything left.
Back in the cans where he is. We've been hanging out right here because it's too hot for camping.
Lee pulled out his phone, brought up the crime scene photo of Clint Draper, eyes wide, face gray, and shoved it under Stu's nose. He yanked back the phone and himself when Stu bent over and puked on his own shoes. The stench, Lee thought, would wake a decomposed corpse.
Did you have a falling out, Stu, up at Zane's place when you were shooting at the house?
It ain't Clint, no way. You're tricking me.
We fished him out of the lake this morning. He's got a fist-sized hole in the back of his skull. I expect he was dead before you dumped him in the lake.
I never did that.
Stu's tree trunk legs wobbled until he thudded back on the couch.
I never done killed nobody in my life. Clint's a friend of mine. I never done killed nobody.
Get your sorry ass up or I'll haul you up. You're coming to the station and you better start telling the truth or I'll see you do some real time behind bars. You're up shit creek, Stu, and every lie takes you farther from shore.
I never done killed nobody. I swear on my life.
Tears began to leak.
Clint just came by yesterday. We never went camping. He just asked me to say so. He came by after he heard Tracy took off and you was looking for him. I was just helping out a bud, that's all it was. And anybody'd do the same.
You reckon anybody'd hide and lie for a man who beat his wife black and blue?
I don't know nothing about that. Clint, he was here, that's what I know. We had some beer and such and I passed out, I guess. I don't know nothing about the paint or nothing. Jesus, he's dead? For real?
A moron, Lee thought. A lazy, bullying bastard. But an unlikely killer.
Get up. You're coming in, telling it all. If you don't want me to cuff you, get up. You got another pair of shoes?
Yeah.
Well, change them. I'm not having your puke in my house. Get a shirt and pants, too. I'm taking what you're wearing into evidence. They find any paint, any of Clint's blood on you, you're fucked good.
I was just covering for a bud like anybody would. I didn't do nothing. I never killed nobody.
Lee believed him, right down the line. But that didn't mean he wouldn't squeeze him first. If Stu knew anything, anything at all, he'd damn well squeeze it out drop by drop. By the time the crew arrived with Brody in tow, Emily had the pasta salad in the fridge and a second pitcher of tea steeping. Darby went straight to Roy.
I'm still wet,
he began, but she hugged him close. After a second's hesitation, he clamped hard around her.
Holy God, Miss Darby. Holy God. I've never seen, never gonna stop seeing. When I got to him, grabbed on, he turned over. And his face.
Come on, sit down.
I got some dry clothes in the truck. Any place I can change out of these?
Sure. She waited while he got them, then led him in into the lower level, past Zane's home gym, the home theater, and into a full bath. Take a hot shower. Take your time, Darby told him, then gripped his hand. Roy, you're a hero.
I didn't do nothing.
You went in the lake, trying, hoping to save someone. And when you saw he was past saving, you still brought him in. You're a hero. As his eyes went damp, he shook his head.
I never liked the son of a bitch, that's God's truth. Liked him less since it got out he was hitting on Tracy. But
that only makes you more of a hero. Take your time. She went up to find her crew huddled together at a table, united in shock. And Brody sitting so close to Gabe, they made a twin pack.
Is he all right?
Hallie twisted her hands together, released them, twisted.
He's hardly said a word since he pulled Clint Draper out of the lake.
He just needs some time.
Can you tell us what's going on?
Ralph demanded.
I'd sure as hell like to know what's going on.
Me too, but I'll tell you what I know. She didn't sit. Couldn't. Somebody, we have to assume Clint Draper, shot out the terrace doors to the bedroom upstairs.
Son of a bitch!
Ralph pounded a fist on the table, made Hallie jump, and sent his own glasses skipping down his nose.
That son of a bitch! Not supposed to speak ill of the dead, but hell with that!
Where's Zane?
Brody demanded.
Is he hurt?
No, he went to get Tracy's sister. They're going into Asheville to tell her. Before Clint came here, he painted a bunch of crap on Zane's office building. On my place.
The Drapers are no good,
Hallie muttered.
Never have been, never will be. We're going to help you fix it up, Darby. Don't you worry about that.
I'm in on that,
Brody said.
We'll make it right. But how'd he get in the lake?
Darby let out a breath. Zane and Zod found where he shot from, and you can see over there where the police tape is. There's blood, too. He had to be with somebody, and whoever he was with must have hit him with a rock, then dragged him off, dumped him in the lake.
Don't make a lick of sense,
Ralph added. No, it really doesn't.
It kinda does,
Brody put in.
Could be two things that kinda do.
Intrigued, Darby pulled up a chair, looked into Brody's Walker green eyes. What two things?
He was probably drunk. They'll do a tox screening and find out. But everybody knows he gets meaner and more stupid when he's drinking. Dad's had to lock him up a couple times for drunk and disorderly.
Emily poured more tea.
And how would you know? I've got ears, Mom,
he said, adding a teenage eye roll.
Anyway, whoever was mean and stupid enough to be with him when he shoots at the house was likely drunk too, right? Could be he wanted a turn with the gun and they tussled over it and bam. Probably didn't mean to kill him, but did. Then what are you gonna do, right? Dump the body. Should have just left it lay and took off, but drunk, stupid, and mean.
Put it that way,
Gabe considered.
It makes some sense. What's the other way, Sherlock?
Brody grinned, then shrugged.
Okay, so he's going around tagging Zane's office, then Darby's house. Somebody sees him. Maybe somebody as mean as Clint Draper was and they follow him right on up to here.
Why kill him? Darby asked.
Sometimes mean doesn't need a reason, just opportunity. I heard Dad say that once. Either way, Dad, Silas, and the rest of them will figure it out. It's what they do.
That's right. Standing behind her son, Emily squeezed his shoulders. It's what they do.
If it's the second,
Gabe hesitated, drew a finger down the condensation on his glass of tea.
They're even meaner than the Drapers. I don't know anybody like that. Except, is Dad sure Zane's, Graham Bigelow is still locked up?
He checked first thing. Now Emily shifted a hand to Gabe's shoulder. He's locked up good and tight, don't you worry. But wasn't the real worry, Darby thought? The possibility that someone in Lakeview was meaner than the Drapers? And a killer. After he took Stu's clothes into evidence, Lee left him with an officer and gave him orders to shower, change, and wait in lockup. He'd be damned if he'd interview the idiot while said idiot was still stinking of sweat and stale beer and puke. In any case, he had to notify the deceased's family, and wouldn't that be a goddamn picnic? Knowing the Drapers, he took both Silas and Ginny as backup. Horace Draper answered his knock, stood sneering with his thin gray hair buzzed to his scalp, a home-rolled cigarette tucked tight in the corner of his mouth. The air inside, barely stirred by a couple of standing fans, still smelled of breakfast grease.
Y'all come out here looking for my boy. I'm gonna tell you again, he's off camping. You ain't stepping in without a warrant. We found Clint, Mr. Draper.
Something shifted in the old man's eyes.
All right, then, you know he wasn't nowhere around when that lying bitch he married says he smacked her. Never smacked that lazy woman in his life. Might be she could have used it.
He jabbed a nicotine-stained finger at Lee.
You got my boy locked up. I'm gonna have your badge for it this time.
Lee ignored the finger, ignored the threat.
Mr. Draper, I regret to inform you your son Clint is dead. I'm sorry for your loss. That's a stinking lie. His body was recovered earlier this morning from Reflection Lake.
From behind Horace, B. Draper began to wail.
Not my boy. Not my boy. Not my boy.
You hush up, woman. They's lying.
Lee took out his phone, brought up the crime scene photo.
Is this your son, Clint, Mr. Draper?
He saw it then, the moment when reality and the grief that came with it overtook belligerence. Draper stumbled out the door, dropped into one of the chairs on the rickety porch.
My boy's gone? Yes, I'm sorry.
Grief snapped into a wild rage that shoved Draper to his feet.
You done it!
Before he could lunge at Lee, Silas had his arms yanked behind his back. The old man had plenty of ropey muscle, with that rage fueling them. Ginny had to step in, help hold him back.
We don't want to put you on the ground, Mr. Draper, she said. We don't want to cuff you.
We didn't find him alive,
Lee spoke calmly.
The Lakeview Police Department didn't cause his death. Then who done it? My boy can swim like a shark. He didn't fall into the cursed lake and drown. Who done it? We're investigating. Investigating my ass. Cops is nothing but corrupt all the way up to the FBI. You don't give one good shit about me or my blood. Never have. I'll do my job. It's best you sit down, get yourself under control. It won't do your family any good if I have to take you in for assaulting an officer. I'll tell you who done it. That pissant Bigelow boy goes by Walker. The one who stole my boy's woman, got her to say lies about him. You best put him in a cell right quick, you hear? Before me and mine find him. Be careful who you threaten. Now sit down before I put you down.
Lee jerked his head to Ginny, signaling her to go inside where B. Draper continued to wail and sob.
Zane never hurt your boy. You'd say that. I know that. When your boy was killed, Zane was busy protecting Darby McCray and himself from the bullets Clint shot through the exterior doors of his bedroom and calling the police. Bullshit. My boy did no such thing. That Bigelow scum, he'd lie and you'd swear to it.
We found Clint's rifle, recently fired, in the truck he took from Stu Hubble, and we dug bullets out of Zane's bedroom walls. They're going to match. We found Clint's prints on the steering wheel, smeared with the paint he used to deface Zane's office building, Darby's house, shortly before he fired the rifle. The paint was still wet. Seeing as Zane had a half dozen cops in his house about the time Clint was dumped in the lake, he's got a damn good alibi.
You'd lie, they'd swear to it, every one of those useless police.
You know that's bullshit. Even you know. We have the time logged on the 911. I've got Stu Hubble in lockup now, and from the looks of his place when I picked him up, he and Clint got good and drunk, smoked some weed, popped some pills before Stu passed out, before Clint took it into his head to grab some paint cans, his gun, and go on his vendetta.
He crouched down now, looked into Draper's eyes.
You think about this. If you and yours hadn't lied to me yesterday, your boy would be alive right now. He'd have had his day in court. He might have done some time, but he'd be alive.
Fuck you!
Yeah.
Lee straightened.
That's what I thought.
He saw the fist coming, had a half second to calculate. He let it land, took the bare knuckles on the cheekbone.
That'll do it. You're under arrest, assaulting an officer.
With Silas's help, he wrestled Draper to the ground, cuffed him, while Ginny had to shift from comforting a grieving mother to restraining a wild woman. Chapter 26. After a difficult hour with Tracy, Zane drove back to Lakeview. A quick text with Darby told him she'd been cleared to go to her place. With her whole crew, he was relieved to hear. Satisfied, he drove into town to assess his own damage. He pulled up, got out, stood on the sidewalk studying the ugliness behind the police tape. Worse, he thought, worse than the broken window, and it would take a lot more time and effort to repair. Several people stopped, offering sympathy or supportive anger. He glanced over at the sound of his name, waited as Britt hurried to him. She simply opened her arms and took him in.
I talked to Emily and to Silas. I know everything. I'm so sorry.
She drew back, but kept her arms around him.
First, I'm thanking God you and Darby weren't hurt. Then I'm sick and mad about everything else.
We've been through worse. It's just paint.
She lifted her eyebrows.
Tell me how you really feel.
I'm sorry he's dead. Part of the sorry is because I didn't get a chance to beat the crap out of him. If he'd aimed 3 feet lower, I don't know. But I know Darby sleeps closest to the doors.
Where is she? Should I go see her? I can juggle appointments.
She's up at her place. The crew's with her and Brody, too. He wanted to help.
He's a good kid. We'll all help, Zane. Make sure she knows that.
Will do. Look, we're going to draw a crowd here, and I can appreciate the support and still just not want to hear it all right now.
Got it.
She gave him a last hug, stepped back for another look at the building.
He sure couldn't spell worth shit.
At least it gave him a laugh before he left to go buy a whole lot of paint. With that task handled, he swung by the police station. He found Lee in his office writing up a report. Angling his head, Zane studied the bruise on Lee's cheek.
Bet you didn't run into a door. Old man Draper's cooling his temper in a cell. Sit. Want coffee?
I couldn't stomach anymore, but thanks.
I'll start.
He took a chair.
Tracy's pretty shaken up, but she's got her mom and her sister with her. She's going to stay where she is for a couple more days. Longer, if you think she should. Day at a time.
The chair creaked, a homey sound as Lee leaned back in it.
We've got Clint's prints on the rifle, on Stu's truck, on the paint cans, the brushes, even scattered on your office building. Darby's house. He always was an idiot.
Can't argue.
It'll take longer for the DNA left at your office and Darby's place. It shouldn't take as long for the blood match or the tox screen, the COD, and I've got a reasonably clear timeline from Stu Hubble.
He's not a suspect, I take it. Can't see it. Was passed out cold in his clothes when I picked him up. We'll have the clothes analyzed, but no paint, no blood to the naked eye. No prints on the rock, but plenty of blood. He's as big an idiot as Clint, and wouldn't have thought to wipe the murder weapon. Plus, it shows no sign of that. Clint got to his house about noon yesterday, Lee continued, on foot. Stu's grandmother confirms that. Stu says they never left the basement. Ate, drank, smoked, watched TV, played some games, watched some porn. He thinks it had to be after 2 when he passed out.
So Clint helped himself to the paint and so on. Helped himself to Stu's truck.
How it looks.
They didn't have another friend drop by, get drunk with them?
Not according to Stu, and he was too scared to lie by the time we got here.
Maybe he ran into somebody, Zane speculated. Or somebody with a grudge against him, and there'd be plenty, decided to see what he was up to. Killing him seems
extreme,
Lee finished.
Lots of possibilities. He turns the gun on somebody, gets bashed. He's with somebody, trips and falls on the rock. They panic and dump him. Or somebody decides it's payback time, takes the opportunity. I'm going to sort it out, Zane.
Zane remembered the way Lee had sat with him on the cot in the pod in Buncombe after the worst night of his life.
Counting on it. I want you to be careful, you hear? Draper's got it in his head you must have killed Clint.
How the hell did I manage that when I'm upstairs trying to keep us from catching a bullet and calling it in, and about 5 minutes later letting cops in the house?
Facts, evidence, logic, they don't matter to him. To any of them. He's going to make bail, so you watch yourself.
Let me talk to him.
Zane. Has he lawyered up?
Lee let out a half laugh.
Doesn't believe in such things. Until he does. At the moment, it's hang the lawyers, which would include you.
Let me talk to him. You can observe. If he really believes I did this, Lee, Darby could get caught in the crossfire. She nearly did already.
All right. All right, I'll take you back.
Lee led him back, unlocked the steel door to the trio of cells. Stu, his back to the doors, snored like a freight train on the cot in the far right cell. Draper sat on the cot in the far left and leaped up the instant he saw Zane.
Ye some bitch.
He shot an arm through the bars, trying to grab Zane.
I'll kill you first chance.
Making a credible threat in front of a police officer's only going to keep you from making bail.
Fuck you. Fuck your bail. I got other sons.
Yeah, you do,
Zane agreed, eyes steady.
Maybe you'd like to keep the rest of your family out of a cell. Here's how it is. I had people, dozens, at my house last night, some of them up to about midnight. I'm with Darby McCray.
That whore help you kill my boy?
His years in the DA's office had that sliding off his back.
I'd say we settled into sleep about 1 this morning. About 4. 8 after, actually, as I looked at the clock when I rolled Darby to the floor. I was wakened by the sound of gunfire and breaking glass. The exterior doors to my bedroom shattered.
Did that yourself, that's what I say. Trying to fuck with my boy.
Calmly laying out the facts, Zane continued,
I told Darby to stay down, got over to my closet, got my ball bat in case whoever was shooting broke in. We called 911. What time did the call log in, Chief?
4:11.
Sounds right. I stepped on some glass. I expect there are police photos of my bloody footprints. I was pissed, going to go out with the damn bat, but Darby talked me out of it. She cleaned up my foot and the cops came. Arrival time, Chief?
4:16.
You stop and think. How the hell did I get to Clint? Get his rifle? Why the hell would I take him to my place, into the woods, bash him with a rock if I had his rifle and meant him harm? And how the hell did I manage to get him into the lake when I had a house full of cops?
You wanted him dead.
No, I wanted him to face charges, to face a jury of his peers. And somebody robbed me of the chance to see to that. I want to know who.
You was probably screwing that useless whore he married.
Oh, for Christ's sake, when? You and I know your family kept eyes on her pretty much around the clock. I've got my own woman. I'll make you a promise right now. If anything happens to her, I'll come for you.
Zane.
He shook Lee off.
That's the language he understands. Tracy's my client, nothing more, nothing less. I'll do my best by her. But when it comes to my woman, I'll do a hell of a lot more. Stay away from me and mine, Mr. Draper, and use your head. Whatever you think of me, you're smart enough to know I couldn't be in two places at the same time.
He walked out, waited while Lee locked the steel door.
Probably didn't convince him.
Lee puffed out his cheeks.
He's thinking about it, which is more than he did before. It's a big stretch to try to twist you into it, and he's starting to see it. It might not matter to him. You're part of the why in his head. So be careful.
You too, Chief. Same reason.
Comes with the job. Go on home.
Lee gave him a slap on the back.
Get some food in you.
He did head home, thinking he needed to board up the bedroom doors, call his insurance company, see when he could get the doors replaced. Boarding up meant getting some plywood, which meant borrowing a truck. Maybe he should buy a truck. He wouldn't be driving the Porsche through the winter anyway. Just one more thing to think about. He detoured to Darby's, tried not to panic when he didn't see her. The crew, the trucks. All he saw were the obscenities scrawled on her house. The cops, he assumed, had taken the befouled doormat. One small blessing. He pulled out his phone, texted, "Where are you?"
"On the job, the Marsh House. Lee cleared us to work. Where are you?"
"At your place. Can I borrow your truck?"
"Sure."
"I need to go buy some plywood to board up the doors. Custom doors may take a while to replace."
"We boarded the doors before we left. You need paint. I went by your office before here." He didn't spell anything right. "Roy would paint for you, but I'm keeping him busy. I'll send you the name and number of the couple of guys he says would do it pretty quick if you don't have it. The same ones who painted for you before."
"I've got it. What about your place?"
"Soon. I'm not on Main Street. Go home, eat some pasta salad, make the calls."
"You okay?"
"Better. Should be home by 6. Late start today."
"I'll be there. I love you."
Aw, first time in a text. Weirdly, I love you too. Later. He pocketed his phone, looked around. Wished he could do something for her. Then it came to him and seemed so simple, so right. He went home,